He wants us to take our eyes off the problem, because the more you focus on it, the bigger it gets. So God wants us to focus on Him. I was really blessed when I was reading, when God said to Moses, "My presence shall go with you, and you shall know my rest." And I thought, we've got so much more than Moses had. He's within us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And if we'll focus on Him and meditate on Him, we shall see Him come to work on our behalf. I promised some weeks ago, I think it was last year, I was supposed to do this on the Lord's Supper, just put something together on what actually happens at communion and the Lord's Supper. It's taken me some time to find the opportunity to do it. Not that I've put this together, I haven't. These are some notes that Bish left us 2 or 3 years ago, and I thought, well, I can't improve on this, it's just perfect. There's a few things God's shown me, but I feel today is quite opportune for us to look at this, and there are a lot of scriptures here, so I want to get my foot on the gas and get going. I don't want to labour this in any way, so be ready, get your safety belts fastened, get your pens out, and I suggest when we've done that you file this in your notes, your Bible study notes, because this is a complete study in itself, and it'll be good to refer back to. In fact, if you get opportunity this week, go over it again, because it is such a blessing, it's tremendous. Passover was a historical event. It was a 3-in-1 festival. It was made up of 3 parts. It was made up of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of the Wave Sheaf. We see that Passover has its origin in Egypt. When God determined that the children of Israel should leave Egypt, they had the Feast of Passover as they came out of Egypt. And the event is recorded in Exodus chapter 12. As we know, Exodus means coming out. And I do think we need to read Exodus chapter 12. So if you'll turn to it and let's go through this. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour take unto his house. Next, unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from out of the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the 2 posts, on the 2 side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein ye shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it for a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by the ordinance forever. 7 days ye shall eat unleavened bread, even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And on the first day there shall be an holy convocation. In the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought you your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whoso eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether he be a stranger or born in the land, ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it into the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer you, the destroyer, to come in to your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye shall come to the end, when you shall come to the land which he, the Lord, will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what meaneth ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the land, the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord commanded. Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, and to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. So that gives us the background to the historical event of Passover. We see that firstly, it was a new beginning for Israel. A nation was to be brought forth, and their deliverance was to be brought forth in the following manner. One, it was to be, the sacrifice was to be a lamb without spot or blemish. We see that in verse 5 of Exodus 12. It was slain on the 14th day at even, which is actually 3 o'clock. And that should ring bells with us. 3 is divine perfection. God does everything to perfection, doesn't he? Even to the actual minute of the day that it happens, God has ordained it. And if God can fulfills his word to such minute detail, he's going to care about us, and our lives are going to be taken care of to the minutest detail. So we should not have any anxiety, because God cares for us. The 14th day was significant too. 14 is 2 times 7. 7 is also divine perfection. And so there's like a double emphasis there. It's a double measure of spiritual perfection, the 14th day. The blood upon the two side posts and lintel of the door of the home, as we see in verse 7. Redemption through the blood of the Lamb was in verses 12 to 13. The people were to eat of the body of the Lamb in verse 8. They were to eat in preparation for a journey in verse 11. All leaven was to be put away in verse 15, in verses 19 and 20. The wave sheaf offered on the morrow after the Sabbath. If we look at this one, it's Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 11. and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." We see that through keeping of this feast, God's people were delivered from the threefold curse. The first curse was death. We'll just read this again. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12 and 13. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." I don't know if anybody saw, there was a programme, was it Friday night, Andrew, on the... It was on Egypt, wasn't it? And it was quite interesting. The gods that they'd got in Egypt were phenomenal. They'd got a multitude of gods. They'd got a god for everything. And God wanted... It had to be with miraculous signs and wonders that God brought his people out. Because Pharaoh considered himself to be God, the God of gods. And God had to declare to Pharaoh, "I am the Lord God. And you will know that when you let my people go, you'll know that fact and you'll acknowledge it." He was determined Pharaoh was going to know who's God. He delivered them from poverty in Exodus 11. Verses 2 and 3. "And the Lord said unto Moses," "Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbour, and every woman of her neighbour, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favour in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people." In chapter 12, it should be 35 and 36. I've got 35 to 35. Verse 35 and 36. "And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favour in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians." We'll not look at Psalm 105 for now. It's interesting to note that the words "borrowed" and "lent" mean in the original they demanded, and the Egyptians gave to them. I think that's a bit. It says in King James they asked, but apparently in the original it's a bit stronger than that. It says they demanded gold and silver of the Egyptians, and God gave them favour. You know, we just, when you read this, we take things for granted so much, don't we? We sit back and accept things instead of demanding our rights, instead of demanding our prosperity, instead of demanding our healing, instead of demanding life. We accept second best. We get so complacent. We get in the world till we get the world's attitude. And God doesn't want us to do that. And I'm not speaking just to you. I'm speaking to me. We get so complacent. We think this is the way it should be because we're in the world. And that's not the way it should be. We're different to the world. We need to stand out from the world. The world needs to see a different type of thing happening with us. He needs to see us free. The world needs to see this people free from sickness and disease. We need to be the head and not the tail. Amen. I just want to encourage us today not to accept second best. And sickness and disease, Exodus 15 and verse 26. "And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord God thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee." And Bish must have gone over this at some point because I've written in the margin, continuous tense. It's an ongoing, that healeth. He healeth thee. It's not a one-time thing. It's every time. It's a continuous action, healing for us. We see then in section B how Jesus fulfilled Passover so that we can enter into that. First point is that Christ was the Lamb without spot and blemish. Praise God, he died a perfect Lamb, a perfect sacrifice. We'll look at John chapter 1 and verse 29. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. 1 Peter 1. I'm reading a lot of these because they bring a different slant. So you get a full picture if you read all of them. 1 Peter 1 verses 18. And 19. I love this scripture. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We're not redeemed by tradition. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, who was without spot and without blemish. Hebrews 9 and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Praise his name. So we see that Jesus was a lamb without spot and blemish. He was slain on the 14th day. You know, right on time. God's never late. He's right on time to the split second. Jesus was slain on the 14th day, which was divine perfection, at 3 p.m., exactly as the Passover lamb would have been slain. John chapter 19 and verse 14. John 19:14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, that's the 14th day, and about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. Mark chapter 15, verses 34 to 38. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, God couldn't look on sin, could he? He had to turn away. Jesus had to be completely alone at that moment. He bore our sin. And some of them that stood by when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. At the third hour, at even, the third hour, Jesus died. You know, the veil of the temple, God rent that, didn't he, from top to bottom. We know it was God because it went from the top to the bottom. Don't you remember Bish saying over these past couple of weeks? I'm sure it was Bish that said it, that they actually sewed it, the Jews actually sewed it back together again. Can you believe that? Just sewed their traditions. They could go on with their traditions. And God was showing them very clearly, it's finished. That's the end of this age. We're into the new age of salvation. through Jesus Christ. 3, redemption through the blood. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. We've read that one. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Hebrews 9 verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. In other words, there's no remission for sin without the shedding of blood. Revelation 5:5-10. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed, to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. God wants us to reign on the earth. The people were to eat the body of the Lamb. Matthew 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. So there we see, where they ate of the body of the Lamb. Eat in preparation for a journey. These are all Jesus' instructions, his fulfillment, and the pattern for us to follow. Eat in preparation for a journey. Luke 12. Luke 12:35-36. And let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. God wants us to be ready, prepared and ready, with our lamps lit and our loins girt about. It's interesting, you know, it keeps coming up to me, the armour of God. Your loins girt about with truth. You know, God wants us to have the truth on us and our light shining, ready to go with him when he comes to take us on that journey. The putting away of leaven. Leaven is a type of sin. It represents sin. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Wow. upholding all things by the word of his power. This word is the most powerful thing you can ever quote. When you're in need, quote the word of God, because the word of God is spirit and it is life. It's more powerful than our words. When you don't know what to pray, go to the word of God, get a scripture and pray that scripture until you see that situation turn. Because it will turn, not because of what we say, but because this is the word of God. It's living and active, and it will defeat the enemy. Hebrews 9, verses 24-26. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Praise God. He was the one ultimate sacrifice. And chapter 10, verses 10 to 12. Still in Hebrews. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. We'll have to read verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Praise his name. We are redeemed totally. Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week and is called the first fruits of them that sleep. This is the wave sheaf offering. It was offered the day after Passover, and they used to take their sheaves and the priest would wave them before the Lord. And it was a type of first fruits of the harvest. Isn't that lovely? And Jesus was the first fruits from the dead. He was the first to rise from the dead. And as he rose, so shall we rise from the dead. Mark chapter 16. He lives that we might live also, does he not? And live we should be doing, not surviving, living. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning of the first day of the week they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said amongst themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before them into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. So there we have a scripture to say he is the first fruits of those that sleep. Because he rose, we too shall rise from the dead. Death is not the end, but it's the resurrection into the new life. Amen. Fulfillment in the life of the believer. We've seen that Christ was our Passover, sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. When a man or woman comes to Christ, the blood of Christ is applied to their lives, and this is experienced in the application of the blood of the Lamb. Hebrews 9. Verses 13 and 14. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Praise God for his grace and his peace. 1 John 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Praise God, there's nothing that the blood of Jesus didn't take care of, no sin that Jesus didn't overcome at the cross. Praise his name. Revelation 1 verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. I'm sure we can say amen to that. The fulfilment in the believer of the keeping of the feast of unleavened bread is an attitude of repentance. So we said leaven was a type of sin, so the opposite to that is repentance, and God wants us to maintain an attitude of repentance, and this is keeping the feast of unleavened bread. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 5 verses 7 and 8. We read this a few minutes ago. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Acts chapter 3 and verse 26. Unto you, first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. Colossians 3, 5-9. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, these are some really old words here, aren't they? And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filth of the communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Amen. We said that the wave sheaf is fulfilled in the believer in water baptism. When Israel came out of Egypt, they came to the Red Sea and crossed over on the 17th day. And if you know your numbers, 17 is the number of the abyss. Tell you, God did everything to divine perfection, even to the number of the day, the date that they crossed the Red Sea. Because that denotes that they'd crossed over the abyss and they were no more subject to it. Amen. That passing through the Red Sea is called a baptismal service. 1 Corinthians 10 verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I would not... that ye should be ignorant how that all your fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The wave sheaf commemorated this historical event and pointed forward to the resurrection of Christ and the water baptism of the believer. We're raised to walk in newness of life. Wow, the old nature is put to death. In fact, Bish was talking to us about it not being a nature. It's a condition. Because if it doesn't have any substance, it's a condition, it's a habit. That's what the old man is. And I think it's a matter of renewing our minds with the Word of God and letting the Word of God kill these old habits. That's all that's standing against us. It's not a nature. It doesn't have that much strength. Romans 6, 1 to 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. Woo! Praise God. Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also are you risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we see that the wave sheaf is represented by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and in us through the waters of baptism into newness of life. The Israelites were to eat the body of the Lamb. Jesus at the Feast of Passover gave us the Lord's Supper, and we're to continue this memorial feast. By faith we partake of his body and his blood and all the benefits that have been procured for us by his sacrifice. This is just not a ritual. This is actually partaking of Jesus. And so when we take of this bread and we drink of this wine, we are taking in of Jesus. We need to get that into us. He is becoming a part of us and we are part of him. So as Bish said to us over these past two or three weeks, this is the place where the believer gets healed. This is where we receive our financial provision. This is where we receive everything that we need. It's in this body and blood, and we by faith partake of it. And the more we take of it, the more free we shall be from the works of the flesh and from the devil. Let us keep the feast with joy, knowing that we are fully redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we go over salvation. We accept Jesus Christ, don't we, as our Saviour, and we experience a new beginning. We'll look up just one of these scriptures, John 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We believe on Jesus. If we believe in him and believe that he died for us and that he was raised from the dead for us, then we too have salvation through his name. We repent and turn from our sins, trusting in the blood of Jesus to keep us clean. Let's look at 1 John 1, 7, just one of those scriptures. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We've no need to, I think, again, last week Bish was saying that the only sin that the Holy Spirit will convict us of is that of unbelief. So anything else that comes against you, you know where it's coming from, don't you? God does not condemn us. He's not into condemnation. The Holy Spirit will not condemn you. He will convict you of sin and of unbelief. We symbolically identify ourselves with the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. By faith we bury our old life, and by the power of God we're raised up to walk in newness of life. We'll look at Romans 6 verses 3 and 4. You might wonder why we're reading so many scriptures, but the word of God is far more powerful than anything I can say. And the scripture, I know as I've been going through them, one just suddenly hits you straight between the eyes, and what I say will never do that, but the word of God will. It's got within it the power to do the work. Romans 6 verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. The symbolic partaking of the Passover lamb at the table of the Lord weekly. Paul encourages us, and Jesus encouraged us, to partake of Jesus, to celebrate this feast every week. In fact, I think Smith Wigglesworth used to celebrate it every day, did he not? That tells us something, doesn't it? He was an extremely powerful man. The power of God was in him. Maybe it was his partaking of the communion every day that was the secret of his power. I'm sure there's something in that. 1 Corinthians 10, 15 to 21. But I want to read it out of the message, because I love it in here. It's beautiful. So if you might not want to follow in your version, because it might put you off. Just sit back and listen to this. I assume I'm addressing believers now who are mature. draw your own conclusions. When we drink the cup of blessing, aren't we taking into ourselves the blood, the very life of Christ? And isn't it the same with the loaf of bread we break and eat? Don't we take into ourselves the body, the very life of Christ? Because there is one loaf, our manyness becomes oneness. Christ doesn't become fragmented in us. Rather, we become unified in him. We don't reduce Christ to what we are. He raises us to what he is. That's basically what happened, even in old Israel. Those who ate the sacrifices offered on God's altar entered into God's action at the altar. God consumed the sacrifice, didn't he? And miraculous things happen. And it's like, when we eat of this bread, we're taking in the very life of Christ. When we drink of his blood, we're taking in the very life of Christ. We're absorbed into God. Oh, that's powerful. We are absorbed into him. Wow. And I'd like to read out of the message from John chapter 6. My flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. By eating my flesh and drinking my blood, you enter into me, and I enter into you. Oh, that's just fantastic. And I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 10, because that, just after that section that I read, this puts into perspective what power the devil doesn't have. When Paul was talking about we're taking in Christ and we become, it becomes the body of and the blood of Christ in us, and we become one with him, he says, do you see the difference? Sacrifices offered to idols are to nothing. For what's the idol but a nothing? Or worse than nothing, a minus. A demon. I mean, that's lovely. I don't want you to become part of something that reduces you to less than yourself. He gets it really in perspective. Demons are a minus, they're a nothing. Christ is God all in us. Now, let's get it in perspective. I think the more we partake of this, the more free we shall be of sickness and disease and everything the devil would try to bring against us. The strongholds of the enemy are broken down by partaking of this body and blood of Jesus. And let's partake of it by faith, knowing that the enemy's strongholds are broken. We have the provision that we need. We have our prosperity. If you're in financial trouble, God has all the money that you need. And if you're not, it's time you started to ask largely of him. It's time we started to broaden our vision and look for bigger things and stop looking for our little bit that we need. We need more, that we can give more, that the kingdom might be advanced more. But it's up to us to ask for more, because God will meet what we ask. He will give us the desires of our heart. Is our desire for bigger things? The bigger our desire, we'll see the bigger God is. You know, if we never get out of that harbour and get on the water with him, we'll never see the miraculous provision of God. And sometimes, well, more than often, the only time we go there is when we're forced into it. But God doesn't want us to go there forced into it. He wants us to go there just to say, hey God, I want to see more. I want greater things to be happening in my life. And God will not let us down. He wants us to be a zealous people. People zealous for our rights in health and wholeness and provision. every area of our life. And just one last thing, when I was reading the account of the feeding of the 5,000, it took place, guess when? At Passover time. Isn't that lovely? And he broke the bread and he gave it to the disciples to give out to the multitude. And there's a pattern there, isn't there? He breaks the bread, he gives it to us, and he wants us to take it out to the multitude. And another slant on it was one I always remember GC saying in Malachi 3. We talk about when in Malachi 3 when God said to test him, will he not now open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we cannot contain? But actually, when you go back to the original of that, it says, I will open you, Joan, you're the windows of heaven. I will open you, the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. So it flows over and it goes out and it runs down like that river out of the New Jerusalem, isn't it? Whoa, it's so powerful, is this? So much in it. There's a lot more we could get out of that, I'm sure, as we study it. But I really feel that we've got enough today to get the message across of who we are in Christ and to encourage us to go for more. Amen.